And I, my brother, we're a great, big, wonderful God. And I like to say that I'm his favorite. things that happen to me always tell me that I'm his favorite, you know? So I'm grateful, constantly grateful. I just want to add another passage of scripture. It's from Ezekiel 18, verse 32. It says, "I don't want you to die," says the sovereign Lord. "Turn back and live." "I don't want you to die," says the sovereign Lord. "Turn back and live." Today is day number 321 of 2024. We are in the 11th month of the year, and we are in week 46. We only have 45 days remaining. It has been a very eventful year. We had Greece legalizing same-sex marriage and adoption. We had Prince Charles announcing that he had cancer. We had France becoming the first country in the world to include access to abortion to its constitution. We had Vladimir Putin winning the presidential election in Russia again. We had Donald Trump, president-elect now, found guilty of 34 felony counts of falsified business records. We have Mexico electing its first female president. We had president-elect Donald Trump surviving an assassination attempt. We had
That was
more than 40,000 individuals killed in the Israel Palestine conflict as of August. We had a 31-year-old British singer Liam Payne dying in Argentina. We had Quincy Jones dying. And we have President-elect Donald Trump being elected. The World Bank says that nearly 700 people worldwide experience extreme poverty. We have husbands who are abusing wives. In France, there's a husband who's on trial for abusing his wife for over 10 years. We have children who are being abused by their parents. We have little 10-year-old Sarah Sharif, who died at the hands of her parents. We have violence against women and children increasing significantly by 40% between 2018 and 2023. We have the Conservative government last year saying that violence against women and girls has become a national threat, and it is now identified as an epidemic. The cost of living in the UK is more expensive than in 94% of countries in the world. There are 120 million people who were forcibly displaced worldwide as a result of persecution, conflict, violence, or human rights violations. Now, that number is the equivalent of Japan's population. Japan is the 12th largest country in the world. 73% of all refugees and other people in need of international protection come from five countries: Afghanistan, Syria, Venezuela, Ukraine, and Sudan. But we have hope. Let us pray. Here I am, Lord. Use me in your holy name. Amen. There's a song, a 1965 song, which says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that's just too little off. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, not just for some, but for everyone. What the world needs now is love." And we need that because troublesome times are here. Ezekiel knew about troublesome times. He was an exile in Babylon when he wrote the book by his name. I am hoping to finish at the time you expect me to finish. I have 9 things to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you. Okay? So the 9 things I want you to focus on is, number 1, listen to God. Number 2, acknowledge sin and accept punishment. Number 3, confess sin and repent. Number 4, accept and renew the covenant. Number 5, renounce ungodliness. Number 6, be totally committed. Don't be Mrs. Lot. Number 7, wheel and come again. Start over. Accept life. Number 8, wheel and come again. Live godly lives. Number 9, wheel and come again. Recognize the great I am as omnipotent and sovereign. The title of my talk to you today is Wheel and Come Again. I'm from Jamaica. Okay, so I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm hoping to be as quick and as to the point as I possibly can. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find there the story of a little boy. And the little boy's name is Samuel. And Samuel's mother had taken him as a gift to the temple, and she left him in the care of Eli. And as he is in the care of Eli one night, he's sleeping, and he hears a voice call his name, and he assumes that it is his caregiver, his foster parent. Who knew that we had foster parents in the Bible? Yes. And he went to his foster parent and said, "Did you call me?" And his foster parent said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." And he got up and he said, and I'm reading from verse, and pardon me, I wear glasses and sometimes the print of my Bible is a little small. Verse 6, the Lord called again. God doesn't always call us once. Sometimes we don't hear him clearly enough, so he calls us a second time. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Sometimes God is calling us and we don't hear him because we do not yet know him. But when we know him, we will hear him because he says, "My sheep know my voice." And so we need to ask God, "Help me to be your sheep." The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said,
speak, for your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel is afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, he said, here I am. What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Speak, Lord, I am listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And when we listen and the Lord gives us a message, don't be afraid, because whatever he tells us is whatever is good. But he's going to punish somebody, you say. And when we read the book of Ezekiel, it tells us a lot about God saying, I'm going to punish you. But God doesn't punish us because he's arbitrary and unjust. He punishes us because we are going the wrong way and he has given us chance after chance after chance after chance. And he actually says, I'm going to leave you up to the choice that you have made, because every action has a reaction. Every action has a consequence. And if as a child, your parents said to you, don't touch the hot stove, what do? Do you touch it? Sometimes you touch it. And when you touch it, what happens? It burns you and you go, ow! And then your parents say, but I told you not to touch it. So that's the same thing. Sometimes our action causes us to get burned, even though the Lord has been trying to protect us. So number one, listen. In Jamaica, it says, if you can't hear, you must feel. Okay, God is saying, listen to me. I know more than you. So listen to me. I'm not saying listen to me because I want to be a dictator. I'm saying listen to me because I want good for you. Anybody with me? Listen to me. I want us to go to Proverbs 8, verse 32, where it says, and you can write these down because I don't think I'm going to have time to take you through everything. Okay, so 1 Samuel chapter 3, Proverbs 8, 32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. There's a little song that I like to say, I won't sing. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing happily. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And when we are obedient, the Lord blesses us. Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, but he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. So we are blessed when we're obedient. So number one, listen to God. Number two, acknowledge sin and accept punishment. And I'm taking you to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Anybody knows whose story I'm going to tell you about? I have a friend who doesn't like this Bible character, but I love him because it gives me hope. Because the Bible tells me that he's a man after God's own heart. And the story is of David. David had allowed his flesh to take control of him. He did an evil thing. He sinned and he didn't want anybody to know, so he hid it. He committed a grave act. He planned somebody's death. A friend, a good man whom he had entrusted. The man, he called for the man to come from battle. And the man was so much a defender of David. The man said, no, I cannot go home. I can't go home. And so he slept at the door. And David said, no, you need to go home. And David did everything possible to get the man to go home to hide his sin. And when that didn't work, he wrote the man's death certificate, handed it to the man and said, give it to Joab. And the letter said, put him at the front of the battle. God is all seeing. We can't hide anything that we do. We might hide it from other people, but we can't hide it from God. And so Nathan the prophet comes to David and he said, David, I want to tell you a story. There's a man who had a rich man and a poor man. Verse 2, the rich man had very many flocks and herd. That's 2 Samuel 12, verse 2. But the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up. He grew up with him and with his children. He used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man. And he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. Be careful when you cast judgment on others, because you could be speaking your own judgment. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your bosom and gave you the house of Israel. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite and the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him. Now, therefore, the same knife that stick, goat stick, sheep. So the same thing that you have done is going to come back to you. Be careful of what you do to get yourself out of what you have placed yourself into by the choices that you make. The lust that he had caused the death of his firstborn with Bathsheba. But God is a good God. God is a loving God, and he forgives us, and he forgave David, because David was happy to have accepted his punishment. He recognized that what he did was incorrect. He recognized that he shouldn't have gone that way, and he acknowledged his sin. He accepted the punishment that his firstborn with Bathsheba would die. And when he accepted that, he did number three. He confessed and he repented. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And as I said, I like David because the Bible says that he's a man after God's own heart, not because of the evil that he did, but once he acknowledged his sin, he confessed and he turned away, never to repeat that sin. Oh, that we might be like David, that we turn away from the sin. And here is a man who is remorseful. Here is a man who is sorry. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You are not hiding and prettying it up. Yes, Lord, I have sinned. Wash me. I'm dirty. I'm unclean. I am filthy. Fix me up, Lord, the way only you can. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence. And this is the beautiful part. Lord, any punishment you give me, you are more than justified, because I sinned against you. Forgive me. And you are blameless when you pass judgment. This is not another human being who is sinful. This is God Almighty. You have a right to punish me. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a right and a new spirit within me. Do not cast me away. Brethren, do you understand what's happening? He knows he has sinned. He knows that God cannot be in the same place as sin. But he's saying, Lord, I'm begging you, wash me, fix me up, clean me up so that I can be in your presence, because that's the only place I need to be. But don't hide your face from me. You are the only person that I need to be with. Do you have anybody who you just need to be with, that person? This is God. And he's saying, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong, but let me stay with you. But fix me up first. I know I need a little rubbing down. I know I need a little refining. I know I need a little fixing up. Do what you need to do so that I can stay in your presence. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. Confess and repent. And once you have confessed and you're repented, then you're going to accept the new covenant. You're going to renew the contract. So I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23. 2 Kings. Does anybody know whose story I want us to look at in Kings? Begins with the letter J. Anybody knows? Josiah? You sure? It is Josiah. It is Josiah. And what do we know about Josiah? Is he an old man? So children, this is for you. Because he was what age? Was he? He was a teen. He was a young man. He wasn't an old person like me. Okay? And so children, you can walk and lead others. You can show people what God has done and what God wants us to do. We're looking at just 2 Kings 22 first. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. Now, in the 18th year of King Josiah, verse 3, a book was found. And he got the book and he asked him, I need to read this. I need to have this read. And when he read it, what happened? It was the beginning of Reformation. It is important for us to read God's word, because God's word reforms us and transforms us. It doesn't just inform us. It's informative, but it is transformative. And that is the most important thing. And with this came a renewal for the children of Israel. Now, when you don't know something, it's okay. In the time of your ignorance, God does what? He winks at you. But the minute you know, you must change. And that is what Josiah did. A revolution began. A cleansing began. A throwing out began. Anybody has any spring cleaning to do? Anybody has any Christmas cleaning to do? Any end of year throwing away to do? Let us look at ourselves and decide what we need to throw up based on thus saith the Lord. Because if we do it any other way, it has no bearing. It must go according to God's word. So let us read the Bible. Read your Bible and pray every day and you will grow, grow, grow. Don't neglect to read your Bible. Forget to pray and you will shrink, shrink. We don't want to be spiritual dwarfs. We want to be spiritual giants. So let's read God's word so that we can renew the contract, the covenant, the relationship. We can be restored. Let us read God's word because it is by reading that we know. It is by reading that we know. Number five. Once you have read and you are aware of what you need to do, you're going to do what? Renounce ungodliness. You're going to say, no, this is not for me. I can't do this anymore. I need to take a stand. And so I invite you to go with me to the book of Joshua. Anybody knows who we're going to talk about? We're looking at Joshua number 24, chapter 24, Joshua 24. And I want us to remember that when we read the Bible, we are given a glimpse into people's lives simply to help us to walk the straight and narrow. If somebody says something is bad for me, I don't have to taste it myself to know that it is bad. I can use that person's example. I don't need to do it myself. When Joshua had a relationship with the Lord, he said to the people, I am going to take a stand. What did the people say to him? They said, we are going to do it too. He said, are you sure you can do it? But the people said, yes, we can do it. In Joshua 24, verse 15, he says, as for me and my house, I don't know about you, but you see the flock that God gave me, I'm taking care of that flock and we are standing up. It doesn't matter what your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your neighbor, your co-worker. You have a relationship with the Lord. And based on that, you must be able to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And in serving the Lord, we are saying, everything that is unlike God, I am renouncing it. I'm stepping away from it, and I am standing for the right. Though the heavens fall, though I'm threatened, though they're going to cancel me, though they're going to take away my job, though they're going to evict me, and those things are not easy to handle. If you think about being evicted in December, in the autumn month, in January, in February, losing your job when you don't have any money in the bank, and all you have to do is, the only thing you can do is call on the name of Jesus. In reality, the name of Jesus don't have money. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we have to be practical. And sometimes people are saying, but you're going to take a stand against God, against your employer. And you say, God will provide. Because you know that he has provided for you in the past. You know what he has done for you. There's a song which says, when I look back over my life, I can truly say, what? I have a testimony because I've seen God leading in my life. I said to you that I think of myself as God's favorite. And I usually tell my friends things that happen to me, and we all have a laugh about it. But when you look at it, it's really God who is taking care of you. I went to the supermarket recently, and I forgot to leave the trolley. So I took my bag out, left my bag at the door, and went in to put the trolley back in and to take out my little token and walked back. And as I'm walking back, security guard says to me, "You can't walk this way." So I said, "I just took the trolley in. I'm just leaving. I just, you know." And when I got back to the door, my shopping wasn't there. I tell you, I'm God's favorite child. And so I panicked. I said, "Somebody has stolen my grocery." And I'm looking around. Who could have stolen my grocery? And I said to the security guard, "Somebody just stole my grocery." And he said, "Where did come?" And he's calling me back into the supermarket. And I'm saying, "Why am I going back into the supermarket? If somebody stole my grocery, they're not going to go into the super. They're going to go." So I stepped outside and I'm looking at the bus stop. I saw a lady. I said, "Somebody just stole my grocery." And as I turn from the lady, I see a lady by the door saying, "Come, here is your bag." She saw the bag, she took it up. Because she didn't want somebody to take it, she was going to hand it in. Do you understand how God has taken care of me? Do you understand that I'm God's favorite? And so when I look on my life, I know that I must be strong and I can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because God has taken care of me. Not once, but every day. He takes care of me. And some people might say, "Oh, but that is a little bit of something." Say that to the person who has no grocery. When you go and you bag your grocery and you're planning to do your grocery and it's gone. Say that to the person who set their alarm clock and they didn't wake up because the alarm didn't wake them. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants us to stand on right for Him because He will take care of us. Renounce ungodliness. Be totally committed. Don't be Mrs. Lot. Be totally committed. What do I mean by don't be Mrs. Lot? The angel, Genesis 19, verse 17, the angel said, "Come." The angel went and physically moved them. Hello? Mo physically move them. When you have heavenly bodies moving you, you need to move. And the heavenly body said to them, "Get out. Don't look back. Don't get out of here. Go away from the valley. Go." Let's look at Genesis 19. Let me see. Genesis 19, verse 17. Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. When they had brought them outside, they said, listen to this version, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the hills and or else you will be consumed." Now, if somebody is saying to me, run, because when you're saying flee, they're not saying to you, walk slowly. Hello, they're saying run for your life. And that is what it says, don't stay in the valley, don't stay in the plains, go up to the hill. Has anybody ever been in floods before? You live somewhere and you see the water rising, and you're thinking to yourself, "What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this?" As I said, I'm from Jamaica, and there are times in Jamaica where when it rains and the earth gets really sogged and the water just stays there. And I remember living in a house and my backyard was flooded. And then I noticed that the water reached the step to come into the house. And I'm saying to myself, "Lord, Where this water going? Because I'm alone in the house. I don't have no rooftop to climb upon. Where's the water going? Because that would be it. The water didn't come any farther. Hello? The water stayed there. And we had rain for days. But God was taking care of me. So if I am there and somebody said, you need to leave from here before the rain come and go to high ground, I am going. I'm not staying to see if the rain is going to really come. Flee for your life. Don't look back. Don't stop. Flee to the hills or you will be dead. Somebody's saying to me, run for your life. You don't want to die. Go. And we are moving. And we are moving. Now, the key thing about this, about the commitment, is sometimes we are doing something, we're doing the right thing, but the commitment is not there. It's 98% commitment, but it's not the full 100. And so Mrs. Lot is going, but her heart is still behind her. And so she just took a little quick look, you know? Just a little, we'd say, well, a little prips. And that was it for her because her heart was there. And God is saying, I don't deal with 98% heart. It has to be the full 100. Because when I send my son to die, I didn't say go and half die for them. Hello? I said it has to be a full sacrifice. And so we need to be fully committed because we're not in a situationship. You know that word? Will Smith's wife said they're in a situationship, but we are in a marriage. We are in a committed relationship with Jesus. There's nobody on the side. It's just me and Jesus, Jesus and me. He has no eyes for anybody else, and I have no eyes for anybody else. Jesus full of my eye. Anybody know what I mean? Total commitment. In Jamaica, when I say wheel and come again, it for those of you who might know, it's usually in a party situation where you have a either at what do you call the thing that the pencil, cassette tape or a record, and you stop it and you play it from the beginning. So every time you wheel and come again, you're starting over. Every time you wheel and come again, you're saying, wait, I need to stop. I need to check out my situation. And God is saying, I need you to stop. Check out your situation. Let's go to Acts chapter 9 and tell me what, who are we talking about in Acts chapter 9? Who had a start over? Exactly. But we met him there as Saul. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And Paul, when we met Paul, you know, when we met Paul, he was Saul. He was on fire. Wrong and strong. Anybody know those people? You're wrong and you're strong, but I am doing it for Jesus. And Jesus didn't ask you to do anything like that for him. He was going around still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue. And as he was moving along, he approaches Damascus. And quite a number of us have Damascus Road experiences. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, listen up. Remember, this man didn't accept Jesus, you know. Anybody remember? He was persecuting those who were following Jesus. Now, listen to him. Who are you, Lord? So, how are you calling me, Lord? And asking me, who am I? Do you understand? So, some of us know. But we don't want to know, so we don't act upon what we know. We need to act upon what we know. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.
But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. We can give ourselves to God, but he tells us what needs to be done. And Saul loses his sight. Sometimes we need to lose a physical sight to get spiritual sight. Because after that, we are told that Paul went among the disciples and he was talking about Jesus. And they were like, wasn't he the one who was killing us off? I wonder if we must trust him. But the Lord had transformed him from Saul into Paul. I've got a new name written down in glory. All of us have new names. We are no longer who we are. We are now children of the Most High God. We are born again. So start over. And when we start over, we're accepting new life in Jesus. Wheel and come again. We got to live godly. And I want us to know something. When we talk about living godly, a lot of us think that it's only about coming to church, reading our Bible, praying, coming to church, reading our Bible, praying, fasting on certain days, not eating any pork, not drinking any Pepsi. But can I tell you something else? We're supposed to take care of other people. We're supposed to stand up for people. That's what godly living is. So when we see wrong happening, my sister read a letter today, a letter, and in the first paragraph it says, we must create a hostile environment for abusers. Nobody must feel that they can come and abuse anybody because we are God's children and we look out for people. Do you understand? We have a social responsibility as God's children. So when we see wrong, we must speak up about it. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The early church was very strong about this. They said, where am I? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They looked out for each other. They had community church. Everybody was living together and taking care of everybody else. You must not only see me on Sabbath. You must touch base with me in the week. Call me. How are you doing? You want some dumpling? I love dumpling. Every time I go somewhere, I tell everybody, check up on me. Find out if I need anything. I must check up on you as well and find out how you're doing. How's the job? How's your neighbor that say you're making too much noise? How are things with you? We need to connect with one another. We need to look out for one another because that is what was done. That is what Jesus did. He took care of people. We need to recognize something about the God we serve. We must wheel and come again and recognize that we are just a speck and that God is I am that I am. Before time, there are no boundaries. Nothing can hold him down. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's almighty. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show it his handiwork. We are told that there are so many. Passages of scripture that shows who God is. There is nothing that is impossible for him. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We are told who can say to God, can you do this? And God say, oh, no, I don't know how to do that one. Who can challenge God? Who can ask God something that he cannot answer? He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's encompassing. And he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
God spoke this world into being. God looks after us every day. And because the devil is trying to stop me from telling you about the magnitude of God, he has decided that he's going to touch my device. But I rebuke him because I serve a great, big, wonderful God. And he will not allow what needs to be said, not said. The Lord says, listen to me. He asks us to open our ears. He asks us not to depend on man, but to depend on him. Nothing is impossible for God. We're living in a world where we have to make a choice to live. We're living in a world where God has given us chances. There are so many bad things happening. And quite often we are reverting to that sinful part of our bodies, our lives, where we give in to sin. And God is saying, I need you to listen to me. I want you to read the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is in exile and God uses his life as a little picture for everybody to see what will happen to them if they continue to do wrong, if they continue to worship at the shrine of idols instead of giving true worship to God. And our scripture reading talks about turn and live. Because God does not want us to die. God wants to give us life. He wants to give us eternity. He wants us to spend time with him. He says, let them build me a sanctuary for me to dwell among them. But he doesn't want to dwell in a sanctuary. He wants to dwell in our lives. He wants us to have life eternal. And when we have him, we have life. So he's encouraging us this afternoon to turn from our wicked ways, to turn from not doing that which is, turn away from the ungodly, renounce ungodliness, and accept Christ. Come back to Jesus. Turn away and make your way to Jesus. Find your way back home. Find your way back to your first love. Find your way back to your Father. I want to tell you a little story as I finish. A man was on a plane, and as they were going through, an announcement came over the system that there was going to be some turbulence, so they wouldn't be serving any food at this time. Everybody needed to be seated. And as everybody is sitting, he noticed a little girl, very happy, unconcerned, drawing away in her book, looking outside, quite happy. Then another announcement, we are entering turbulence now. It's going to get a little rough, so please make sure you're not getting up or anything. And some people are holding on to their seats and, you know, you could see them mouthing prayers. You know what happens when there's a little turbulence and everybody knows Jesus at that time. And this man is looking at this little girl. I wonder, how is she so calm? I mean, as adults, we are sitting here terrified. And so he says to her, how is it that you're not afraid? What's happening? You're so calm. And she said, my daddy is a pilot, and he's going to take me home. Jesus is our pilot, and he's going to take us home. It doesn't matter what we are going through. It doesn't matter the storms we are going to meet upon. Our daddy is the pilot, and he's taking us home. God is mighty. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. I said I was going to tell you nine things. And the nine things, listen to God. Hear his voice. And only his voice. We're not listening to anybody else except him. Acknowledge that we have sinned. Request help to accept the punishment. Confess and repent. Accept and renew the covenant. Renounce ungodliness. Be totally committed. Wheel and come again. Start over. Accept life. Wheel and come again. Live godly lives. Wheel and come again. Recognize the great I am that I am. Jesus is coming to take us home.